You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Monday to join me and join us here as we together sit under the Word of God. We study the Word of God. I thank you for tuning in here to WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He's got a word for you now. So fasten your seatbelts. Relax. Maybe you're on your way to work. Maybe you're on your way home and it's 5:30. Whatever the time is, I'm grateful that you guys and gals have taken 30 minutes of your Monday. Let's get into the Word now. We're in the book of Revelation. We're looking today and tomorrow at this persecuted church of Smyrna. What a thing to be a member of this church. Now, Smyrna is modern-day Turkey now. It's one of the seven churches. It's gone down in history as the persecuted church, where the people that lived in Smyrna had to sign a statement that said, Caesaros Kyrios, which means Caesar, Lord. Imagine living in this city and having to do that. This was the trouble facing the people here. It's also known for a famous bishop, someone who learned from the Apostle John, whose name was Polycarp. And he famously, as they tried to get him to do all this, he said, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no harm. Bring forth what thou wilt. Boy, if we could only have the faith and the stamina of this guy Polycarp and all of these early Christians, many who were used as human torches or fed to the lions. How did these guys do? How did they endure this persecution like that? This is what we're looking at here today. The persecuted church at Smyrna. We're going to eavesdrop in. We're going to read this letter that the Lord Jesus dictated for the spiritual leader of the church at Smyrna. Okay, here we go. This is part one of this message. Let's get into the Word now.
The persecuted church at Smyrna. That's where we're at here today. Okay, today we're heading to a town named Smyrna, some 35 miles north of Ephesus. The mailman today, whose letter we are about to swipe and read its contents, is delivering the second of seven letters intended for the spiritual leaders of the seven churches. Now, the writer of these letters is the very Son of God himself. So what's the history of Smyrna? Now, Smyrna was where Polycarp was the bishop or pastor, and Smyrna was the center of emperor worship. Hard to believe, but believe it or not, they worshiped the emperors of Rome. Let me stop for a minute. We need to pray before we move on further. Lord, I can't do this on my own. We come to you in Jesus' name. You promised to hear us when we pray in his name. Lord, I pray that you would take this message here today. Speak through me here today. Bless my church family and those that are watching and those that are going to watch and those that are going to hear on the radio in the future. Use all of us here today. Help us to hear and take to our heart and to receive the message that you have this time around preaching through this letter. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us through your word. Help us to be doers of what we hear here today. Now, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All is meaningless if we don't pray before we get started. Smyrna was the center of emperor worship. Again, believe it or not, they actually worshiped the emperors of Rome, just like today. But now they call them Pope. I'm sorry, did I just say that? Okay, now they call him Joe. Oh, I'm sorry, did I just say that? But anyway, imagine being a church or a Christian in a place like this, a place where you will bow down and worship the emperor or be horribly killed. So as history has it, this man Polycarp, the pastor of this church, was faced with this dilemma, which is deny Christ and bow down to the emperor. They said to him, swear by the genius of Biden. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what's come over me this morning. Quote, swear by the genius of Caesar, unquote. Now, as history has it, Polycarp answered the liberals there, the Christian haters, with this famous comment. He said, 86 years have I served him. That would be him, the man in the glory. 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. Now that's what I'm talking about. Bring forth what thou wilt, and catch the attitude. In other words, don't be messing with Polycarp. This guy was tough. He's like, he's Ron's age at this point. He's my kind of guy. He reminds me of Nicholas, the old saint of the church, Saint Nicholas, who later became to be known as Santa Claus. All right, now Tim, now there's a mugshot of old Nicholas, who, as the story has it, he decked the heretic once with a right cross, right to the jaw, down he went. Down goes the heretic. Reminds me of the old song. Up with a right cross, old Saint Nick. Down to the ground goes the heretic. Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? That is now what we know as Santa Claus. Another guy after my own heart here, same as Polycarp. Man, this guy hated heretics. All right, Tim, thank you. Bring forth what thou wilt. That needs to be our attitude here today, doesn't it? Esposito, don't preach that message in church. That's hate speech. 30 years have I served him. See, I can't claim it like Polycarp. I can only say 30, which is half my age. But I'll say it nevertheless. 30 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. We're not that far removed from that happening right here in the United States today, by the way. Don't think this is far-fetched, because it's not anymore. Or this, swear allegiance to the government and take the vaccine so that you can buy or sell. Bring forth what? How in the world do you think I reach 60 years old? Not from the government telling me what to do or forcing me to do something. Same as Polycarp. Bring forth what thou... I'm not trusting you for that. I'm trusting him. Not the government. The government didn't ensure I hit 60 years old. Or Ron. How old are you, Ron? 90 years old. You think the government's responsible for you hitting 90? No, someone better than you is responsible. He is the one that ensures that we live and move and have our being, we just read last Wednesday night. He is large and in charge. Bring forth what thou wilt. See, we're not all that far removed anymore from the government forcing you to do something in order to buy or sell. This needs to be our new call to action, just like Polycarp. What do you think? Now, some 50 years earlier, before this happened to Polycarp, the Lord Jesus dictates a letter to the current pastor of this church. Smyrna, like Ephesus, was a proud and beautiful city, had a large library, a stadium, and the largest public theater in Asia. A famous golden street traversed the city, where the temple of Zeus on one end, and on the other end, a temple to a local goddess named Cypele. Other temples to Apollo, Asclepius, and Aphrodite all lined this street named Golden Street. Perhaps even more importantly, the city had become the center for the cult emperor worship. Smyrna received permission to build a temple to the Emperor Tiberius in 23 BC. Under the Emperor Domitian, who ruled when this letter was written, emperor worship was required for all Roman citizens. Those who refused could, and most of them did, receive the death penalty. Once a year, all the citizens of Smyrna were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. While this was more of an act of political loyalty than a religious act, the citizen still had to say, while burning incense, he had to say, Caesaros Kyrios, which in English is, Caesar is Lord. Many Christians considered this act blasphemous and refused to do it. In addition to be a center for the imperial cult, Smyrna also had a large Jewish population that actively opposed the Christians. Thus, the church in this city struggles against two hostile forces. That is, a Gentile population that's loyal to Rome and supported emperor worship, and a large Jewish population strongly opposed the Christianity. Wow, what a combination this is, huh? Do you think that that can't happen here? Now, years later, in 156 AD, the 86-year-old church father Polycarp was burned alive as, quote, the 12th martyr of Smyrna, unquote. I wonder who the other 11 were. But now there's a double whammy, isn't it? You've got evil, Satan-led unbelievers and God-haters, and you got these angry Jews over here who hated the Lord Jesus and everything Christian. So there's the backdrop of the Church of Smyrna. The poor pastor of this place. All right, now we're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Let's start this sermon now. Verse 8. Now to the pastor of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. All right, wow, not many people can claim that. Put that on your business card, huh? Jesus Christ, first and the last. Remember, we read in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. He's first. We also read the Apostle Paul says, he is the last. He's the last Adam. The first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became what? A life-giving spirit. He's the first and the last who was dead and came to life again. Ha! No one can claim that one either except the Son of God. He is the Arche and the Telos. That is the beginning and the end. The only thing he shares in common with us on this list is that he died. At least with mankind, right? But then again, this is he came to life again. Now this here is what sets Christianity apart from everyone else, and everything else. That is, for all who follow him, death is not the end. This here is what the Lord Jesus did with death and the power of death. I'm going to read this. This is Colossians 2:15. By the way, while you're writing, I forgot to tell you this. Add to your handout, please. 1 Corinthians 15:45. I just read that to you. The last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45 and Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Please add those to your handout. Tuck that handout away in your Bible. I said, this is what the Lord Jesus did with death and the power of death. Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, that means he defanged the snake. He disarmed. It's like he took a piece of dynamite and he pulled out the fuse on it. Having disarmed, or like those Mission Impossible movies we love to watch, right? Hits the button, or James Bond at the last second, he always disarms whatever it is. That's what the Lord Jesus did to Satan. He disarmed him. And it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he mocked them in public, triumphing over them in it. Now, you could write down that down as nana, nana, boo, boo. That's how that might look on paper. Hit the road, devil. You're toast. And to use Esposito vernacular, hit the trails. You're all gums. A fool, write this down, devil. It's all right, Darren will pay for it later when he tries to sleep, right? Not me, I got a thing on, I don't hear nothing no more. You're a fool who done lost his dentures. I'm not that far off. The Bible says when you see Satan at the end of this age, people are gonna say, are you the fool that did all this? You? You're a pencil neck little Greek. You're the one that caused all this trouble. You see, the Bible says that Jesus defanged him. He has disarmed him. He's got no power over you. His power over you is deception. It's deception. The Bible says he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. He's got no power over you. All he can do is trick you. That's why Jesus says in John 8:32, it says, and you will know the, and the will set you free. I always read, it's not the power of God that sets you free. It's the knowledge of the truth. Your name is in the book of life. God is on your side. What shall we say to these things, right? So when the scoffer asks you, remember, we're looking at what he said. Every one of these letters, he starts with an attribute about himself. He says he's the first and the last. He said he died, but he said, never fear, that's not the end. I came to life again, is what he's saying. So when the scoffer asks you what makes your belief system different than everyone else or anything else, here it is right here, and that is death is not the end for you. Jesus came to life again, and you will too. It's not the end. Death has no hold over you anymore because of the Son. Paul said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death's got no hold of you, no hold on you anymore. It's just the beginning. For all of you that have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is a portal for you to slip into everlasting life. To all who call on the name of the Lord. That's why Paul said, I'm worried that you're deceived because of the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not hard to understand. All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. It's easy to understand. You can be saved without burning one calorie. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. That's it. Death has no hold over you. People say all the time, oh, there are many ways to God or gain entry into heaven. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. He said, no man comes to the Father. No man comes to the Father except through me, is what he said. Now, when he came to life again, God gave his stamp of approval on his son, and every word, God authenticated every word Jesus ever said by raising him up from the dead. Any sap can say that there's someone. But God authenticated who Jesus said because death had no hold over him. He is risen. He is risen. All right. So this letter comes from the one who came to life again, permanently. Some he raised from the dead only to die again, like Lazarus and others. They were raised temporary. The Lord Jesus is the only one to rise, never to face death again, as it'll be for you after you die and leave this world, and after you are joined again to and with a new permanent body, you never again will face death. That's good news. All right, verse 9. He says, I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy who say that they are Jews, but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan, or we could call a congregation of demons. You're not a Jew, he's saying. Now, Moses was a Jew. Abraham was a Jew. Isaac was a Jew. Peter, Paul, James, John, Simon, and Bartholomew, all those were Jews. A true Jew believes God and the Word of God. They don't go around killing followers of God's Son. Now, regarding this church, he says to them, I haven't forgotten about you. Matter of fact, this church and this pastor has no correction from the Lord in this letter. Only encouragement to these guys. He says, I know what you're going through. He says, number one, I know your works. So let me ask the question, does he know yours? Or is that the bad news, that he does know yours? What are you doing with the talents that he's given you? What have you given back as an offering that cost you something? What have you given back to God as an offering that costs you something? Duane gave me $50 for the radio. Imagine if I would have put that in the offering plate and written my name on that. What an abomination that would have been. That cost me nothing. I know your works. You see, Jesus has entrusted you with something that belongs to him. What are you doing with it? He will settle accounts with you in a little while. It's not too late. What are you doing with what? He says, I know your works. What are you doing with the things that he's given you? He's entrusted to you. He's given you something. Whether it's your faith or whether it's money, what has God given you that he's going to take inventory of when he comes back? I know your works. Number two, he says, I know your tribulation. Now, the Bible shows us that all Christians are confronted with tribulation. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Now, some have it worse than others. But what you won't face or have to endure is the wrath of God. Tribulation you'll have. The wrath of God you will never have. God bless you. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Second verse I just gave you a minute ago to write on your handout, Revelation 3:10. It says, to all of those that crossed this finish line in faith.
Now it's conditional to all of those.
To everyone who perseveres to the end, he said, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon this whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. So you will never face the wrath of God, will never be poured out on you, because the wrath of God was poured out on his son so that it wouldn't have to be poured out on you. Jesus died for you, took the wrath which was due you for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And praise God, he took that for you. You will never face the wrath of God. What you and I have to face all the time is the wrath of Satan. That's what we're talking about here today. Look at the things this church had to endure. All of these evils all around them. How many Christians have been fed to the lions? That's not the wrath of God. God doesn't feed Christians to the lions. That's the wrath of Satan. We've always had to endure that, and we always will. We face it today. Turn on the news if you dare. It's evident in our demon-infested public schools and in our government. This is what it looks like out here when the glory of God has left a building. Turn on the news. Look around you. When that wacko atheist said, get rid of God in the schools in 1963, this is the result. Is it cold in here? Oh, sorry, Amanda. Ain't turning it up. You stand under these spotlights. Tribulation. Number three says, I know your poverty. Sometimes you think that you're poor, but actually you're rich. That's what the Lord told this church. Now, the church at Laodicea, the last one in this seven, they had the opposite problem. They thought they were rich. But Jesus said that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and you don't have any clothes on. You're naked. You and I have an incorrect view of riches and poverty. True riches are not measured by someone's bank account. Remember what God said to Samuel the prophet. He said, God does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord said, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. You want to talk about riches? Let's go there.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.